Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, it's the last show before Christmas, and my special guest this evening is Patrick Kent, who has just been re-elected as the National President of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association. And it's with great pleasure that we welcome him to the programme. First of all, congratulations and thanks for joining us this evening. No doubt 2018 is going to be another very, very busy year.
Well, thanks very much for the congratulations, Chris. Yes, of course it is. As an organisation, we're becoming more and more dynamic all the time, and we have opened lots of doors and we're doing more and more as we go on, and we're going to be very busy this next 2 years.
Now, maybe before we look forward, just to go back, the ICSA was set up, I think, back in 93, and effectively for farmers who were concerned at the time that about having an adequate voice for beef and the lamb sectors. And over the years, Patrick, I mean, farming organisations have come and gone. We've had the likes of the United Farmers Association, more recently the Natura and Hill Farmers Association. There is, of course, the IFA and the ICMSA and the ICSA. I mean, you have stood the test of time. You're very much up there and have a significant role to play in shaping farm policy.
We have indeed, Chris, and our membership is getting even stronger, and we want to further enhance that as well. And we are also enhancing our ability to service farmers' needs in that we've some new committees formed now as well, from organics to tillage, and so we're doing even more work.
Now, your own position, you've been involved for many years. You're back for another term, having been successfully re-elected. Just briefly give us a little bit about your own background. You're actually from New Ross.
That's correct. Just as New Ross in Wexford, and I am a cattle and sheep farmer. And I've been doing it since I left school, so it's quite a few years now, and I hope to continue doing it. And I do it full-time, and that's my source of income.
Now, climate change is something that comes up regularly on our television screens. Donald Trump certainly having an input into what may or may not happen. And the weather is never too far away from being a topic of conversation. And of course, here in the Northwest, the fodder crisis is something that is concerning so many people. What's your take on the present situation, and what would you be saying to Donegal farmers? Is there enough assistance and aid coming through to help those in need?
Well, it's unfortunate that there was so much rain in the Northwest and border regions this year. There was quite a considerable increase in the rainfall in the crucial months for conserving fodder, and as a result that some farmers are in a deficit situation. So it's a question of analysing each individual farmer's situation and taking remedial action to stretch fodder by using more concentrates and so on, or else getting supplies of fodder. And as an organisation, ICSA has been very active in sourcing fodder in the southern half of the country, and we have located quite a bit now. So, but if we could get farmers to contact us with regard to the requirements, and we will try and marry them with sources, and try and alleviate any hardship situations. And we're also liaising with both Ministers Creed and Doyle, and to see can we get some assistance from them as well.
Now, I know the ICSA has met with the Minister for Communications, Climate Action and Environment, Dennis Nocton, about renewable energy policies. And I suppose it's fair to say, Patrick Kent, that 10, 15, 20 years ago, it wasn't that high up on the agenda. But we do have wind farms, there's biomass crops up, if you excuse the pun, every now and again. And there's it's a growth area. And we're going to be, no doubt, in a very different place, give it another couple of decades in the future.
Absolutely. We have to focus on it. As an organisation, we're very much trying to get the government to focus more on farm renewable generation of electricity in particular, and having sources of renewable energy available, and to enhance our situation from a global perspective and from a climate change perspective. We've got to green ourselves even further, and also in the process trying to make farmers, energy secure, and also not to be blamed for, damaging the environment. In actual fact, farmers, that's one of my core ideas in my manifesto, was that we've got to get recognition for the fact that farmers are in a very good situation with regards to sequestering carbon. Each acre of pasture that's well managed is sequestering about 5 tons of carbon equivalent. And a cow just gives off about 50 kilos in a year of carbon. So we're in a very, very favorable position. We've got a recognition for that, but we've also got, on roof solar energy and wind and, farm scale, and get income to farmers rather than large multinational corporations and just coming in, putting in very large installations of where there's whole farms covered with solar panels or huge, very mega size wind farms, and usually whereby they're owned by foreign multinationals, and they aren't much benefit to local communities. So making local communities more secure.
And maybe we can benefit from the mistakes perhaps that have been made in other countries, and you've touched on it there. I mean, there has to be scope for the farmer to be able to feed electricity that has been generated locally back into the national grid, or to have community run schemes capitalizing on renewable energy, and that the income is coming back to the area itself instead of being profits going out of the country in many cases.
Exactly, Chris. Well, actually, farmers have been, and individuals have been allowed to feed energy into the grid, but they haven't got compensation for it, and that's the problem. They're allowed to do it, beyond their own requirements, they don't get paid. And that's got to be changed. There's got to be incentives there for farmers to produce more than their own requirements, and to invest heavier into on-farm renewable. And there's issues like anaerobic digestion, which are very environmentally friendly in that they reduce smells and pollution of waters and so on as well. They can be very good for the environment. It costs quite a lot. Need cooperation, need organisation. Need huge investment, but long term they are very efficient and a very good source of power.
Now, on this program, we have mentioned before, and you touched on it there also, solar panels for the generation of electricity. And maybe not so long ago, people would have scoffed at the idea, but as technology improves, and it's light as much as heat. That counts. It's something we're going to see more of in the years to come. Is there a proper policy being formulated in this regard for Ireland? Or where do we stand? Are we going to see solar panels in fields in Donegal in the years to come?
Yeah, I think we will. Certainly we would like to see them on farm roofs, on shed roofs and that, And then it doesn't, you don't need huge infrastructural developments in the grid. The existing grid would be sufficient if it's, and also be more benefit to individual farmers rather than some corporation or very wealthy, mega wealthy individuals. So I think to spread the wealth among the community and have communities self-sufficient in energy production, I think is the way to go. And certainly with the increase in technology, with solar panels and all, they are working very, very efficiently in regions in further north than Donegal.
Now, for many smaller farmers, off-farm income is absolutely crucial, and in Donegal we have something like 4,000 part-time farmers. Do you see there being a lot of opportunities from not just the renewable sector but other sectors and maybe niche markets for people to earn additional income from the land?
Absolutely. The niche marketing of the products like beef and lamb that we're already producing in those regions has got to be accentuated and developed further, and the possibility of getting a better return on the investment to the farmer as far as initial investment in livestock and so on has got to be pursued. And I think, there's massive potential there. And also from a marketing perspective as well, people like that type of meat that's niche marketed, produced locally and so on, and it's a very good carbon footprint and it's a healthy product, and that's good for tourism as well. That's what tourists are looking for in their restaurants when they go to areas they like to eat the local foods.
Now, CAP reform is on the agenda, and always a complicated matter, and you know it takes some time to come to an agreement. But going forward, food security, a major part of the EU budget is spent on agriculture and the CAP. For an island like Ireland, we have this great image out there, and there are still very much opportunities.
There is indeed, Chris. There's huge opportunities there, and you know, CAP has been, you know, very, very good in providing that food security within Europe, and I think the CAP budget needs to be protected and enhanced, and that's the way to go. And we've got it's an investment in rural, remote areas in Europe in particular as well, to keep farmers farming and keep the scale of farming as it is, rather than develop very large factory type units, and which you know are dominating farming in the United States, for instance, and they're not so efficient. They're just wiping out small farms, and a lot of these, you know, are owned by large corporations, and it's not good for communities and rural areas, and it just causes more pollution and a lower grade of food as well. So I think we've got to protect the infrastructure that's within the farming community that we have, and you know, it's got to be protected, and that's what CAP is for, and I think the funding needs to be kept there. Of course, the emphasis is going to be on climate change and environmental issues and so on. That's what's coming down the tracks, and I think we've got to strengthen our position there. As I think we've massive opportunities being you know, so clean of food producers here in Ireland, and the fact that we don't grow any GM crops, we've got to stop competing against them and sell our product as a GM-free and declare our country a GM-free zone. And I think that's the way to go and get a higher price. The discerning, connoisseur type of consumer in Germany and places like that want that type of product, and they will pay for it willingly. And I think they've got to be, you know, provided with that product. And we certainly are in a very, very strong position to do so.
It remains to be seen what sort of deals Britain does post-Brexit, and we hear a lot of talk about the World Trade Organization, and another thing that comes up, the Mercosur, and the deal was with South America. You know, for the farmer out there, like, it's very hard to take it in, and it's, these deals are being done thousands of miles away. Should we be concerned about what's going on? Do we really have much of an input into what's going to happen?
Yes, we do. We have to sell ourselves to this, our strengths. We have a lot of strengths in that. You know, we are an island nation, and we produce very high quality food, and certainly we've got to, you know, protect our existing customers and continue to provide the type of food they're used to, and also we've got to sell it to its strengths, which we haven't been doing. We've been underselling ourselves and our product. And that's got to change. I think we've got a big job of work to do there to enhance the value that we can get back from the marketplace, and also to protect from the imports of lower grade, cheaper quality, low grade products that, you know, from the Americas, we'll say. And but also we have an influx of chicken and poultry products coming in from Asia as it is, that's of dubious quality. That we've got to highlight the fact that we're trying to compete against this, and we've got to stop competing against this, and set our product on its strengths, and have the consumer more aware that, you know, they should be eating locally grown, high quality produce, grass fed products that we produce here in Ireland in particular.
Now, just before I let you go, maybe just to get your thoughts on the heritage bill that is going through the Dáil. Now, the ICSA has put forward its case, and essentially, fair to say that you believe that there needs to be a little bit more flexibility.
There certainly has. Like a lot of mountainous areas have been depopulated through various schemes over the years, and to get stock back there, I think they need to be restocking grants, and there has to be you know, more flexibility in getting that land back into usable condition. You know, be it burning or whatever, cultivation or whatever wind bushes and so on and so forth, you know, to get that back into a usable condition, and to get young people back farming as well. The age profile of farming is not helping, you know, the stocking of some of those areas as well. So we need to young people looked after when they go into enterprises that are on mountainous regions and marginal areas and so on and so forth.
So, in conclusion, Patrick Kent, National President of the ICSA, what do you see as being the top priorities for you in your role in 2018?
Well, I think to protect our members from further declining incomes and try and get an increase in their income and other income streams like energy production and so on, I think, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. Getting a better price back from the marketplace, getting enhanced to cap payments, get less regulation. I think farmers are regulated out of existence now. Farming is becoming unattractive, and it's becoming less and less attractive for part-time farmers as well, because the amount of compliance measures and paperwork that they have to do is making farming very unattractive. And we've got to get the policymakers to focus more on the actual income streams back from the consumer. You know, where is the money disappearing? It's not coming back to the primary producer. And so we've got to get the focus on that, and less regulation at farm level, more regulation on the money flow, and also more focus on high-quality food and getting the consumer to consume quality grass-fed products rather than highly processed junk foods and so on.
Patrick Kent there, the recently re-elected National President of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices, steers making €4 a kilo, heifers €4.10 a kilo, R-grade bulls €4.05 a kilo, U-grade €4.15 a kilo, and cows making €3.40 to €3.70 a kilo. Sheep prices, spring lamb, €5 a kilo to 22.5 kilos, and ewes making €2.90 to €3 a kilo. Well, that's it for this final programme before Christmas. So just time for me to say many thanks, as always, for listening, and may I wish you all a very happy and peaceful Christmas. From me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.